This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. This recent stretch of warm weather has been an unexpected pleasure, but it's still winter, and the trees and plants that are coming up and producing buds earlier than usual could be damaged when temperatures drop below freezing again. And joining us to talk about what to do now to keep your plants and trees healthy and to answer your gardening questions are Jim Loewenberg, who operates Running Creek Farm in Mount Healthy, co-owner of Home Meadow Song Farm and director of the Community Garden Program at Turner Farm, Peter Huttinger, and Boone County Cooperative Extension Horticulture Agent David Kester. And you can join the conversation this afternoon at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And David, Jim, and Peter, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, David, what do you do? Because I've noticed this all around my yard. I've got these flowers that are now confused. They think that spring has sprung and they're starting to come up. What's some advice for taking care of those things?
You really can't do anything. I mean, we're so early. And there's just, you can, you know, the daffodils are up and blooming right now. Any kind of seriously cold weather, that those flower petals are mainly made up of water. They're going to freeze and turn to mush. And the same thing with magnolia blossoms and things like that. And it's just really awfully early to be this warm and for our plants to be out as far as they are. So it's going to be one of those things that it's going to be kind of really iffy whether we have a peach crop and really some of the other fruit as well. I've seen plums that are really very far along, buds are swollen, and whenever they swell like that, it takes less of a cold snap in the future to kill them. So we're awfully early.
Yeah, Jim, I've heard some people suggest, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. Some people say if you can gently push the plant back down into the ground again. Is that a good idea?
Certainly, you can give it a try, or if possible, cover it with some light row cloth to give it a little bit of protection.
Mm-hmm. Peter?
Well, I think to add a little bit onto what Jim talked about, using a floating row cover, which is a spun poly fabric, and gently laying that over and securing it down with stones or bricks so it doesn't blow away is very effective. And if you can, from the homeowner who doesn't have access to that, you can actually use a sheet and put it down and then lift it up the next day. That can help protect things. But, a lot of things like the crocuses come up early, and I know we've got some daffodils and things like that, but, you're just going to be, the long and short of it, you're going to be enjoying them earlier in the season as opposed to later in the season. There's not much you can do. The big thing for me is fruit trees, that's always a disappointment, like Dave commented. I mean, we're probably going to have a reduced harvest of peaches. Plums are particularly susceptible.
Are there certain plants and trees that are more likely to bloom when you get these warm spells like this?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, definitely peaches and plums, cherries. Apples will have a much longer chilling requirement, and so they're not as far along as the stone fruits, and those are really very vulnerable. You can cover things, but Mark, we're still last day of February. We are literally, we've got March and all of April to get through before we're out of the woods. And so we could have a freeze and likely will have several more in March and April. And you can't, I would not want to be trying to cover things every night or for this point onward. I think you just got to take your lumps, and if we don't make it through, there'll be another year.
What about mulch, though, David? I mean, is it a good idea to try to mulch some of these plants to protect them?
I don't think you can really mulch. Will once the soil is cold, the mulch will keep it cold, and that will sometimes keep that plant from coming up through the mulch and really starting to grow and bloom. So it's great for bulbs to mulch them in the fall of the year, and that'll keep it cold. But generally, once they start to come out, and I think last Friday was we were up in the 70s, and then Saturday we were back in the 40s and 30s, and it's really tough.
Yeah, Jim, do you feel like David that it's just kind of take your lumps and move on?
It is certainly tempting to get out and start all sorts of things when we have this beautiful weather. However, days like today remind us that it's barely spring. We're really still in winter, so we don't know what's yet to come, and I'm always cautious.
A lot of people were out and actually planted things like peas and lettuce. Now, those I would certainly, you know, do everything I could to, because they're going to be able to handle some frost and some cold conditions. And I'd be protecting those for, obviously, they're things I want to eat. So I'll do that. But things like bulbs coming through and daffodils and tulips, I just don't know what you can do to keep those from, you know, being subjected to bitter cold temperatures. And we're still probably going to have those kind of temperatures.
You know, your perennial plants and spring ephemerals is really, I mean, they have their own cycle, and just some years it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Enjoy them while you can.
Yeah, and with the ground so saturated and so wet right now, is it even a good idea to be out working in the soil at all?
Probably not. I mean, if you've got raised beds or you've got walkways between your garden areas, you can certainly be on those. But you definitely don't want to be on any kind of cultivated soil or soil that compacts. And you're better off just waiting until conditions improve.
Jim, as a market gardener, when do you first like to get in and start working in your beds?
It's great if I can get some of the bed prep done in the fall, but certainly, you know, the last week or so is a good opportunity to do some cleanup that hadn't happened earlier. I would say over the next month or so would be a good opportunity to start getting beds somewhat shaped and ready to plant in, but it's still pretty early. I mean, we are still at the end of February.
Yeah.
You remember, our frost date is, I think, I believe it's May 18th, isn't it? And
right.
People think, with global warming, it's going to be, you know, that shortening in our – Our zone has changed slightly, but, you know, it doesn't care. We're still going to get these periodic frosts.
Sure.
Yeah. And Peter, if as some say, this is going to become the weather pattern from now on, where we have milder, warmer winters, will plants just adapt to that?
Well, I mean, over the long term, yes. But also, you know, it's not only – it's erratic weather seems to be what I've read in terms of scientific journals and stuff, seems to be one of the things that we're going to experience for a longer time before we see, you know, prolonged situation where it just becomes warmer and warmer. I mean, we see these photographs of the polar ice caps melting. You know, that's one thing. But, you know, we're down here in the central, you know, area of the United States. I think what we're going to see a lot of irregular behavior of the weather as opposed to anything that's really consistently becoming warmer each year.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Tom from Claremont County called, and he wanted to know if you could talk about the insect problems that we could have because of a very mild winter.
I've talked to a number of entomologists, and it's really kind of some insects are going to be very much favored by this, and others on that freezing and thawing are going to be detrimental to them. And the thing that you have to remember is that we have so many insects. The overwhelming majority of our insects are beneficial, or they really don't cause us any problem at all. And a lot of the beneficial ones are predatory insects, so they're going to be vulnerable to these same kind of temperature fluctuations in the weather as the detrimental ones. So it could be that we lose some of the predators, and there's not as many predators to feed on some of the some of the detrimental ones. So it's really hard to say which types of insects are going to be hurt and which ones are going to be benefited by this.
Yeah.
Although anecdotally, I would say that years that we have a good long cold winter, we have fewer bug problems.
Peter, any thoughts on the insect question?
I same thing with Jim. I can't provide any scientific thing, but when it's been a really super harsh, it does seem, at least in the early spring, the problem seems to be a lot less. But I guess I also want to say is that, you know, do remember what Dave brought up. All insects are not your enemy. So if you're using, whether it be organic or synthetic pesticides, you know, be very cautious in the amount you use it and when you use it. Certain things that are broad spectrum or will kill all insects, you know, sometimes it's better to spray those late in the day so that kind of dries off and may present itself a little less of a problem for honeybees and other pollinators the next day.
Now, talking about insects and weather, Mary emailed and she wanted to know, are there any fruits or vegetables that we should not plant this year?
I can't think of anything that I would hesitate from planting. I think it's awfully early on a lot of things. And of course, the soil conditions are saturated and will be for several days, if not weeks. So you're going to kind of back off on those things. Anything that's dormant, and I have seen a lot of the nurseries are now starting to carry fruit trees and things like that. And those could all be planted now, but I sure wouldn't want to be putting out anything that's succulent or in full growth right now, because of the freezing temperatures that we could get. A lot of these things are shipped out of the south. They come into the nurseries in full leaf. And, we're still, again, last day of February, and we have a long way to go before that foliage will, be out of the woods.
Is there anything that does well against frost, any types of plants that hold up well against it?
Well, really, all the plants that are here, and of course the evergreens, the hollies, and those things are pretty good against those kind of things. And we're not talking about things being killed so much as we're losing the flower and the fruit on them for this year. All of our plants will come through this, I think, fine, but they may be a little bit damaged, and we may lose the fruit crop.
Again, 513-419-7100, if you'd like to join the conversation. We had a question from Nazrin. He sent this in by email, and he said he had some azaleas that were infested with lace bugs last year. And he said with this warm winter, he's sure that these are going to reemerge with a vengeance once spring arrives and it gets a little warmer. So he'd appreciate any suggestions on preventive measures he can take, things that he should or should not do.
There are a number of insecticides that will take care of that. I'm not sure whether neem is one of the more safe products on those. Orthene is one that I know. You need to direct the sprays to the underside of the foliage as well as to the top of the foliage, and you can control the lace wings.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk to Tim in Brown County. Hi, Tim.
Hi, I have raised beds, and in one bed I have it protected with what they call a float cloth, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's what tobacco farmers use to protect their seedlings in the spring. And I have one bed that's protected with that, and I have lettuce, spinach, radishes all coming up, doing well. In another bed I have sugar snap peas, and they too are up, but how to protect them once they need some room to trellis. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to need to get some stakes out there with some kind of trellis worked up, and I'm sort of at a loss how to protect them. And then one other question, how soon to plant onions? I've heard that they like early planting.
I would say of all of the things you've mentioned, they are all fairly cold hardy. So if they have some growth on them, they should be okay with a little bit of protection. It certainly is a challenge to cover peas as they're climbing up a trellis. But if you have a large sheet or some more of the floating cover, you could try to put that around there and weight it down so it doesn't blow too much. But the peas would be somewhat cold hardy unless we get a super cold and extended frost. Onions typically now would be about towards the end of the period to get them started if you want to have an early production of them early in the summer. Typically I would say early January into February. You can certainly start them sooner, or you could buy onion sets or onion plants if you don't want to start them from seed.
When you're talking about starting the onions, you're talking about starting them indoor in trays?
Starting from seed. But if you were to start with onion sets or buy onion plants, you've got plenty of time.
The thing that you've got going for you is that you've got these things to germinate and they're up.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you put these those kind of seeds in a very cold soil, they will rot instead of germinating, and you've got them up and growing. And that I would really encourage you to keep the row covers on and protect those things, and you are going to have an incredibly early harvest.
And back to the onions, if you were to start with either onion plants or onion sets, I would wait till early April before actually putting those in the ground.
We will continue our gardening conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss what to do now to keep your plants and trees healthy and to answer your gardening questions are Jim Loewenberg, who operates Running Creek Farm in Mount Healthy, co-owner of Homeadow Song Farm and director of the Community Garden Program at Turner Farm, Peter Huttinger, and Boone County Cooperative Extension Horticulture Agent, David Kester. And you can call us with your questions and comments at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Anne Marie called in, and she said her garden is already starting to come up because of this warm weather that we're getting. And she wondered if you could just mention again some of the coverings that she could use to protect that.
Well, I mean, she's probably talking about flowers and landscaping plants. I mean, one of the things you can do is, like we talked about, the floating row cover, which is a spun poly fabric, which you can gently lay over them. I mean, like I said, if it's just like for overnight, you can try doing the, just a house sheet. But the other thing to kind of think about, I mean, you can use, if you're going to be doing mulching anyway, you can do some, go ahead and do your mulching now. You know, for around flower beds and stuff, I prefer to use pine fines. In the gardens themselves, we'll use chopped up leaf or leaf mold. We'll use straw. But around a home garden for aesthetic purposes, I don't know if that's really the way you want to go.
If these are perennials, you're really just going to have to. They're going to come up. The foliage is going to be damaged a little bit. It won't kill the plant. They're going to come back and be fine. You can, when we get past this cold period, you can cut off some of that dead foliage and things should be, back to the way you want them to be.
Is there any material that you shouldn't use? Is plastic a bad idea?
You don't want plastic touching the foliage because it'll freeze to the foliage and just create more problems than it's going to solve. And you really don't want to warm the soil up under there. You just want to keep the heat from the soil around that plant. And so you don't want to use, and you don't really want any of this material except for maybe the row cover material touching the plants at all.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. And let's talk to John in Anderson Township. Hi, John.
Hello. Got a question about budworms, B-U-D budworms, maybe related to tobacco worms. For 5 years, I've had a problem in planter boxes, and I have many planter boxes. Three local nurseries, and I don't mean the big boxes, but nurseries, and a woman who commercially plants and maintains planter boxes have never heard of them. I got a product once. I'm in my car, so I can't tell you what it was. It was a powder, and I used that a couple seasons, and the trouble was, as a powder, literally would cover leaves. There's a little problem with photosynthesis. So I gave up on that. What do you know about budworms and how to get rid of them?
I'm not sure exactly what budworms. I'm not if it's like a tomato hornworm, it's anything worm that would be a larval stage of an insect, and you would be the Dipel products, the Bacillus thuringiensis should work really well on those. That material has to be ingested by the worm, and it should take care of it. And you can apply that as a liquid to your plants. I think what you really need to do is when you see those, take that insect into the nursery or to your extension office, and let's find out exactly what it is, and then we can find out when it's most vulnerable.
Any other advice?
No, I just agree with Dave on. I agree with Dave on that.
Okay. Now, Sue, she read online that having peppermint plants in the house will keep mice and spiders away. Has anybody ever heard about that? Any truth to that one?
Yeah, if you go to like some bug control companies, say that we have organic solutions, and basically what they're doing is they're spraying peppermint oil. So whether the leaves themselves, I guess, could, if it's a fairly aromatic mint, if you kind of put it underneath your sink or something, that might work. But usually what people do is they get essential oils, peppermint oil, and you can mix that in a solution and spray.
I've always heard the fruit of the Osage orange, if you put that around, it repels spiders. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a really unique looking fruit.
Yeah. And with using the peppermint, any of these oils, I mean, it has to be repeated, you know, because they won't last as long as a synthetic pesticide.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation, any gardening questions that you have, or you can email us at talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's see, Anna, she says she has lavender in the yard and she forgot to cut it back last fall. Can she cut it down now or is it too late?
Sure, cut it back now and you'll be fine. It'll just take anything dead off of it and should come back and be okay.
And we have an email from Pete who says that he has several hot pepper plants that are growing inside, and each one's now about 8 inches tall, and they're flowering. Mm-hmm. And he's wondering about when and how should he transfer them outside to the yard?
Well, you definitely want to wait till after the frost date. I mean, I always use as a rule of thumb Mother's Day to kind of remind myself. But you definitely want to do what's called hardening off, because they're in the house. I don't know if you have a little greenhouse around or whatever, but you have to expose them to the outdoors and temperature variations that they'll be experiencing. Because they're indoor, it's going to be fairly consistent. And so often you put them on your back porch where it's in shade or part shade, and then slowly after over several days, move them out into full sun and then transplant them into your garden. But you definitely want to wait to mid-May.
Yeah, Pete's got 2 full months to be
saving
those
plants. He's got some time.
And I think it would be safe to go ahead and pick the flowers off. Here we are on February 28th. There's no need for them to be producing fruit at this point.
Yeah, and is this something you do in steps? Or can you just do it all at once? Should the plants be acclimated or
slowly out to like Peter said, hardening them off? It's honestly you know, he may have done it for fun, but it's obviously very early to have peppers that are 8 inches tall. You're going to have to maintain those inside for a good while.
Yeah, and the thing to remember about starting things too early, we talk about plants becoming leggy or overly long. Now, a tomato plant, because it's the nature of the plant, you can actually bury that deep, and all the little nodes are on the side. You pinch off the leaves, and those will all form roots, and so that's actually a technique. But a pepper plant, you can't. You have to plant it at the same ground level. But I think Jim made a really excellent point about picking off the flowers now, because you don't want that thing, you know, to start producing inside unless you have some sort of super greenhouse operation going.
Yeah. So I guess in general, it just depends. It depends upon the plant, how you handle it.
Right. Yeah. Joshua Jones, the community garden manager for Turner Farms Community Garden Program, is working with the students out of Diamond Oaks right now. And actually this week they're planting peppers. So.
Yeah.
Well, starting the pepper seeds inside.
This time of year, if you've overwintered geraniums and things like some of those kind of plants, it's a great time to start taking cuttings of those and rooting those now and getting them kind of ready for planting out in May.
Now, that goes along with a question we got from Jamie, who wanted to know about starting new ornamental cherry trees from cuttings from a mature tree. How well does that work?
Rooting cuttings is on cherries can be done. She'd be better off grafting them. If she can find some rootstock of the cherry, she can graft those on it. If it's obviously maybe it's a very important tree to her, she probably ought to contact us and we'll give her some input or some ideas on what she can do. You could, of course, also grow cherries by seed, but they won't necessarily be exactly what that original cherry was. And the only way you can do that is by vegetative, either rooted cuttings or grafting.
Yeah, and April 1st at Hayfield's Orchard, we're going to be doing a grafting workshop. Dave's actually teaching it with Marcia Lindner with Hayfield's Orchard and then in collaboration with the Turner Farms Community Garden Program. So you can go to the Turner Farm website and get information on that grafting class. Unfortunately, we won't specifically be doing cherry.
No.
But the technique is the same.
Oh, and Nazrin had another question I forgot to get to that was part of his list. He wanted to know about, is this a good time to prune white dawn rose?
It might be a little bit early. Some of the roses are really starting to leaf out, and you can cut all the dead wood out of it. The white dawn is a really pretty rose. You can cut that one back pretty far if you want to, 8 inches, something like that. Anything that you do, you're probably going to, when you cut it back, you're going to induce some new growth on it. It's about time to be looking at those things. But again, we are awfully early still. And I mean, there's no harm in waiting another 3-4 weeks to do that.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And can you give us some more tips on the proper way to prune mature trees and cut branches that are hanging too low? Should you cut it right at the trunk or a few inches away? What advice do you have on doing that?
Well, there's on every limb, there's a branch collar. And if you want to take that back, you locate the branch collar, you leave that on the tree. It used to be for years, well, decades and decades, we always said go back and flush cut it up against the tree or the extra or the where it forks. And now we're saying the cells that are responsible for closing that wound are located in the branch collar, and we want to leave that on the tree. So you're actually coming out, you know, maybe an eighth of an inch or so, and you're making your cut there. And just make a very clean cut. If the limb is a problem, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is that when you if Peter decided to put his initials in a tree, which is not a good idea, and come back in 30 years and look at that, those initials would be at exactly the same spot on that tree. So branches don't move up and down a tree. If a branch is a problem right now, it's always going to be a problem, and maybe that's, you know, it's time to take it off of the tree. And you want to, you know, make those determinations. One of the things that we did at the pruning demonstration last Saturday was we would take one limb off, then we'd walk around the tree, decide on another limb, and we did it very slowly. And that's really what you need to do with your landscape plants. And of course, if it's too big for you to do, by all means, hire a certified arborist.
Yes. Stay away from power lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that speaking from experience?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, not from experience, but stories hold. You know, another thing to remember, too, is UK Extension and OSU Extension both have bulletins on pruning. And I would never go too drastic on something. You might want to consult an arborist. But there's some very kind of practical things about, you know, and they show some photographs and diagrams about, you know, what is the collar on the trunk where the branch comes out. And also, you're cutting off a bigger branch. There's a technique where you do three cuts. Mm-hmm. You cut underneath first so that, and then you cut beyond that one out from the tree. So that way, if the tree branch starts bending down, it won't allow the bark to rip down the side of the tree. I don't know if that's making sense mm-hmm. over the radio. And then you do your third cut as the final cut. But these little techniques are illustrated in these bulletins that the extension agents offer for you.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to remember, too, that anything that's going to bloom this spring, if you go in there and you're pruning it hard right now, you are eliminating the flower for this year. Not completely, but any limbs that you take off obviously are not going to be in bloom.
And we got a question from Abigail. She's wondering how to control lesser calendine without chemicals.
We struggle with that at home.
Good luck, right?
Yeah. We try smothering it. We've used a butane torch and burned it with some success, but it's rough. I mean, you can try digging it out, but that also kind of spreads the nodules and it gets worse. Jim, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it is virtually impossible to get rid of it, but I think it can be controlled a little bit using some of the techniques you mentioned.
Yeah. Abigail says she also has a small greenhouse. Is there a better type of grow light that you can use in that small greenhouse?
Well, you want full spectrum light, and the old days you would do it by using a warm and a cool bulb together because most light fixtures had two bulbs, and that would give you a full spectrum. But now you can the full spectrum bulbs are much more affordable, and then of course now everybody's going to LED. Mm-hmm. Jim, what are you doing yours?
I do a variety of things. I have some. My older grow lights are fluorescent tubes, and then I have experimented some with LEDs as well.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you have any gardening questions. And Sue in Kenwood joins us. Hi, Sue.
Hi, sir. My question is this. As much as it pains me to do this, I had three catalpas lopped off because they were literally pushing my roof of my garage up. And darned if the things didn't sprout and grow last spring. Oh, how sad. I need to kill them. I know there's a product called Crossbow, but I have pets. And so any other ideas?
Yeah. Crossbow's a pretty... I'm not even sure that unless you have a pesticide license, I don't know that you can buy that. And
oh, okay.
Secondly, you can, if you'll cut them again and then put Roundup on the wound, it will translocate down into the root zone and it'll take those out. And you can just kind of paint that onto the cut that you've made. And that would be a much safer way to do it. Crossbow is a sterilant as well, and it you won't be growing much in that area if you use that one.
Now, I'm curious, when you say topped off, do you mean you had the tree cut down at ground level, or do you mean you had the tree shortened?
They're probably at about 7 feet.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to leave them because there's only about 4 feet between the fence and the garage, mm-hmm. and I wanted to leave the trunks as a security measure. So, you know, somebody couldn't sneak through that space.
Well, they're going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
At that, they're going to continue to sprout out and grow. And I don't – there isn't anything that I know of that you can, you know, you can put on those to – I mean, I guess, you know, I guess you could spray the new sprouted foliage with Roundup or glyphosate and kill it that way. But I think you might want to get rid of those trees and try to put some other kind of barricade in there.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how you're – I mean, there are certain, say, like dogwoods, there's more of a shrub that you could replace that. To provide some security and make a thicket for it's hard for people to get through. I would really recommend, like Dave said, get rid of the tree totally at ground level and then go to a good nursery and tell them what you want to accomplish and ask them what plants to recommend. Because some of these woody perennials, shrubs, they fill in and they establish themselves fairly quickly. So you'll have security fairly quick.
We will continue our gardening conversation, and you can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss what to do now to keep your plants and trees healthy and answer your gardening questions are Jim Lohenberg, who operates Running Creek Farm in Mount Healthy, co-owner of Home Meadow Song Farm and director of the Community Garden Program at Turner Farm, Peter Huttinger, and Boone County Cooperative Extension agent David Kester. And if you'd like to join us, you can call us at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk to Christian in Clifton. Hi, Christian. Christian, go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in a couple things, two parts to this question. The first part is the best time of year to remove invasive understory shrubs like bamboo and honeysuckle and replace them with a more native brush like the edibles like berry bushes and herbs. Useful plants. And then whether it's better to dig those up or to have something like goats, you know, cut them down, have goats destroy the roots, and then plant something from seed in the same place.
It'd probably be good to dig them or to cut them out initially. And then when they regrow, I think you could release some goats in there and they would feed on that foliage that's a little bit more tender and a little bit more palatable. And they would probably do a pretty good job at keeping the area clean. And then you might be able to reestablish some desirable plants in there.
Well, when we talk about natural pesticides, we talk about neem oil as being broad spectrum. Well, you should think of goats as being broad spectrum because they're pretty indiscriminate and they'll eat everything. I love to be around goats, actually, but I would never own one. They're far too sneaky. But, you know, but going back to just digging up, I mean, if you can get something up by the root, and actually when the weather is kind of wet and the soil is moist like right now, I usually always say stay out of the garden, don't compact the soil. But honeysuckle, even ones that are inch and a half in diameter, you can go in this kind of weather and you just rock them back and forth and you can actually kind of like pull them up. There are tools like weed wrenches and honeysuckle poppers that facilitate that. When you get into, you know, larger, more mature honeysuckle, you can try chainsawing it right at ground level, and depending on what your feelings are about using Roundup or herbicides, you can spray the campium layers around those plants to, you know, kill the roots. So that's something. But one thing with a lot of this stuff, actually the fall is often a better time to do kind of this because a lot of these plants then are receding and their sap is going down into the roots or they're getting ready to kind of bed down for winter. So if you use an herbicide, it has a tendency to more readily be absorbed and go down into the roots. But small stuff, I would definitely just try and dig up first. In terms of replanting, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier, there are some native varieties of dogwood that are nice replacements for screens, property screens for to replace honeysuckle. We've had good luck using gooseberries and also currants in these sort of low light situations. Pixwell is a gooseberry that we've had really, really, really good luck with. And Red Lake is a red currant that we've had good luck with.
And I would agree with the smaller honeysuckle. This is a great time to pull it when the ground is saturated or getting there. I've also heard theories that as the honeysuckles are beginning to flower and they've put all of their energy into flowering, is a good time to pull them out, as they have more difficulty recovering at that point.
Christian, did I get all your questions?
Great.
Thanks, Christian.
We
appreciate the call. Let's talk to Layla. Hi, Layla.
Hi. Thanks for taking our call. We are trying to get some milkweed started, and we bought from like a nature center, like three or four of them. But last year, they were completely devastated by an orange and black bug. And, I mean, they just ate down to the stalk. There was no leaves left. And we're just wondering what can we do to get a better start with our milkweed?
Well, that milkweed bug, or I think they call it milkweed beetle, is something that's just naturally attracted to that. I've noticed even at home we have that on it, but I've never seen it necessarily devastate the plant. In terms of them coming back, there's tropical and then there's what we call the native, and the tropical ones, you know, from a warmer climate, so they sometimes will reseed but won't come back, whereas the native is more resilient, has more resilience. Melinda O'Brant at Turner Farm, you know, if you contact her, melinda@turnerfarm.org, she starts in milkweed plants, both tropical and the native, every year. We have them available for sale, but she's a real good go-to person to answer this question more thoroughly than I certainly.
I would really recommend you just really try to plant as more of them if you can, and I think you'll have better success with it. And I commend you for doing this because we really need to get more of that plant out there for our monarchs. And apparently their populations are down again this year, so we want to do everything we can to facilitate them.
513-419-7100 for your gardening questions. And Jim in Dayton joins us now. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question that I recently acquired a property with some shrubbery around the house that obviously has not been very well maintained over the years. In fact, it's quite overgrown. And I was wondering how aggressively I can cut that back. Guessing this would be the time of year to do that, but, you know, to get it in line with the original confines and below the windows of where they were originally planted, just want a kind of idea of how far in I can get.
Is it evergreen or deciduous?
No, it is an evergreen.
It is an evergreen. Do you know what it is?
No, I have to admit I'm kind of a novice on that. It's not the prickly kind. It's more the soft, lobey green type of evergreen.
It may be Taxus, and that's pretty common. And you can cut that back. Now, you're going to have to live with some pretty unsightly plants or unsightly-looking shrubbery out front for a little bit, but it will leaf out, and this would be a pretty good time to do that. And you can take it back to, whatever. You obviously have to leave some woody portions above ground, but you can take it back pretty far. And again, you're not going to be real happy with the way it looks for a while, but it will generate some new growth and come back for you.
I'm curious: are the leaves oval or round, or is it more like a pine?
They're oblong.
Okay, could it be boxwood maybe, or
it could be?
No, boxwood. I do know what a boxwood is, and actually, I have another one of those too that I'll probably be cutting back a little bit. But
here's what I would do: is I would cut off a branch or a section and take it to a nursery and get it identified, and then you can either ask their advice or that you could contact UK Extension or OSU Extension, and they can provide you some information on the next step for pruning. It's kind of not knowing what it is, we could really give you some bad advice.
Okay. Well, it looks like at least some of it had been cut back at one time because I can see some cut marks in it, and obviously it's regrown, and I did not know, if I could be very aggressive or if it's just better to take it as stages over several years until you get it back in line.
I think Peter's 100% correct. I would really get it identified. Take it to a good nursery and they'll be able to tell you exactly what it is. And then you can really make a good decision about how to proceed.
Jim, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Dennis. Right. Dennis in Madeira joins us. Hi, Dennis.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Go right ahead with your question.
Okay. Yeah, I have a lilac bush that has been in my yard for about 3 years now, and it was a transplant from it was a shoot from another much more mature bush. And it's been growing, like I said, for about 3 years. Now it's about 4 or 5 feet tall. It has always produced leaves, but it has yet to produce any flowers. And I was wondering if that's natural, if that makes sense, and if not, if there's anything that can be done to encourage it.
It can be natural that, 3 years, it may be, this may be your year. Is it in full sun?
It's about at least half, maybe 75% of the day.
Okay, that should be enough. I would just give it some time. This is not uncommon with lilacs and with certain shrubs that they will take a little bit longer. And, there isn't really any kind of pruning that you can do on it that's going to make it bloom quicker. There are some techniques that they do with some other plants to induce them to bloom. But lilac, you better just give it a little bit more time and then see if it doesn't put out some flower buds.
Margaret joins us now. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of hydrangeas that I moved from one location to another location. I pruned them about 2 years ago, and last year I got beautiful foliage but no blossoms. Will it ever blossom again?
Sure. It definitely should. Again, just give it some time. There's so many different kinds of hydrangeas that I think I would just give it some time, and I think this year it should definitely send up some flower shoots and some buds and make a nice display for you.
Okay. Is there a certain way to prune those?
There is, but again, it kind of depends on which ones. Some of them you can actually take back pretty far, and others you don't want to do that with them. And without knowing which one it is, I don't want to give you the wrong information.
Margaret, okay. We appreciate the call, and let's talk to Mary now. Hello, Mary.
Yes, hello. Thank you. Yes, I want to know, growing poppies, can I transplant those deeply?
You can. Now, are they, have you, you've got them now in your garden?
No, they're about, they're not in my garden. I was going to get them from someone else.
They can be dug and divided, and you can certainly do that. And I would do that within the, probably in April, something like that.
Okay.
Do you know, I mean, if you know where they are in April, you can, or you can wait until they just start coming up a little bit and then dig them at that time.
Is there anything special I need to do? Full sun? Shade?
Just, yes, full sun. And I would try to, whenever I do that, I try to think about the digging that plant so it doesn't know it's being moved. And that means keeping as much root ball on it. And when you go to divide it, do it very carefully. And, of course, keep as much root and soil on that root as you possibly can.
Mary, thank you very much. Let's talk
thank
to
you.
Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call. I had a yellow rose that I liked a lot on the patio or on a deck. Cut it back last fall and left it out there all winter. Covered it over if it was freezing. Well, apparently I did too good a job because the thing is just blooming like crazy right now, and I'm afraid. I don't know whether I should cut it back, put it in the freezer. What should I do? It looks to me as though it's almost going to bloom.
Well, don't put it in the freezer. You've got a lot of. I don't think it's going to start blooming quite yet. The cold that we're having should kind of keep it in check. I wouldn't do a whole lot to make that plant do grow anymore. I don't know that I'd cover it. The root system is the most vulnerable part of that plant, not the above ground portion. And it sounds like you've protected it and it's doing well. But I would just go ahead and let the above ground portion just fend for itself. And, it may die. It may die back a little bit. You may burn some foliage.
Should I feed it or anything?
Should you do what?
Should I feed it?
No, not yet. Not until we get into late April or mid-April would I put any kind of fertilizer on it.
Hey, Sheila, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Janice. Hi, Janice.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about hemlock. I had a patch of hemlock by the side of my garden. I just dug it out like 2 days ago. And I was wondering, am I allowed now or is it safe to plant vegetables in that area now?
Huh, that's interesting. I mostly had to deal with hemlock problems in animal pasture, which is obviously a problem. It's a biennial. So you're running a risk that it may come back again. I think I would hold off 1 year before planting vegetables in that space just to be cautious because, it is poisonous, obviously. I would just choose to go, on the side of caution on that. So I would monitor the site for this season and then think about growing then in the spring if it doesn't come back up.
And we have quite a few questions today. If we didn't get to your call, please give us an email. Email your questions to us, talk@wvxu.org, and we will get to them next month when we do our gardening segment. So email talk@wvxu.org. And David and Jim and Peter, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jim Lohenberg, who operates Running Creek Farm in Mount Healthy, the co-owner of Home Meadow Song Farm and director of the Community Garden Program at Turner Farm, Peter Huttinger, and Boone County Cooperative Extension Agent, David Kester.